Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. He is the chairman and CEO of a home service platform company called Happiness Brands. He is also the chairman and CEO of a national franchise company with over 500 locations, which also happens to be the flagship company of Happiness Brands in Lawn Doctor. Scott Frith, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I know personally, I am going to learn a lot and level up, and I have a small hope that our audience does as well. So, Scott, you are so well known within the franchise industry, so well respected, and rightfully so. As I mentioned in the intro here, there's so much value that we are going to download throughout this show. But I wanted to get started with asking you about the story behind Lawn Doctor and how it was founded.
Sure, absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity to tell the story. So it's a great story. It actually starts about 5 minutes from where I sit today. The founder, Tony Giordano, had a little hardware store on Main Street in Matawan, New Jersey. And people were moving out from the cities to the suburbs. They had lawns. They were coming into his hardware store, buying products, and they had questions. They didn't necessarily know how to use them. He started having some seminars on the weekends, teaching people. And pretty quickly, he had a conversation with his friend and then future partner, Bob Magda, about like, could we create a company around this and actually do it for people? So they created a piece of equipment, they created a process, they started franchising. That was back in 1967. So we just celebrated our 55-year anniversary last year, which was a huge milestone for the brand. So yeah, that's how we got started, right down the street.
What a practical way to get started. Solving a need in the market that you see repetitively in a very similar space, right? Delivering service there, seeing that clearly this is a need. And I would assume that need has only grown and grown over time as the brand has matured.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And we've moved into, of course, different services and expanded our offerings based on what customers see as valuable. But yeah, what started as kind of a niche service back then, as you can imagine, 55 years ago, it was really sort of an exclusive service. Today, it's kind of ubiquitous, right? You drive down the street, you look around, you see lawn signs everywhere with lawn care service providers. So yeah, it's definitely expanded and created a huge opportunity for our franchisees.
So today, you are the chairman CEO of that brand, has grown to well over 500 locations, is most certainly a household name across the United States. Take me back to when your family became involved with the brand and specifically how you became involved with the family business.
Yeah, sure. So kind of interesting. So my family, much like the consumers that I just mentioned, were from Philadelphia and we moved out. My parents wanted the family to have a little bit of a different upbringing. So my brother and I, so moved out to the burbs. We had a little house. My dad, of course, took a lot of pride in the home. We had no idea as a city guy how to take care of the lawn. And actually, a gentleman came through the neighborhood one day hanging green thumb door hangers. And my dad called, said, hey, I'd love for you to take a look at my property. I have no idea what I'm doing. Really liked what they had to say. Hires Lawn Doctor. And my father's just a great person, really gregarious, always making friends. And they became very good friends. And so they started talking about business and life. As the jobs would get done, he would always be the last job on the route. They would pull out a lawn chair and talk life and business. And that gentleman introduced him to the founder of the company, Tony Giordano. And my father came in for an interview. He was hired as a director of franchise development. I was 6 years old at the time. And I always say, I do remember the moment that my father came home in his three-piece suit, really excited, talking about this job. Of course, I had no idea what that all meant. And he tore apart. We had a little laundry room. He tore that apart. We went to a local college. They were giving away desks. And I remember vividly him setting up that desk. That became his home office where he started selling franchises back in 1978. And so a short time later, he moved the family to New Jersey, where we're headquartered. And that started his journey through the organization. And ultimately, Tony confided in my father that he wasn't hiring his director of development. He was hiring his successor. He wanted someone who could really kind of take the brand into the future and have it be what it could ultimately be. He saw a lot of potential. And then myself, I entered the picture when I was 13 years old. I started working in our manufacturing plant, honestly, just making a little money on the side. And I was honestly a janitor. I worked in our parts department. I built equipment. I unloaded trucks. I did everything they needed me to do. Then I went to undergrad. When I graduated from undergrad, the then marketing director reaches out, gave me a call. I had an English major. I had business and philosophy minors. And he heard I was a pretty good writer. And he called me and said, I'd really like you to join the team. I need some marketing materials written. I need some manuals to be written. And it was my first paying job out of college. I jumped at it, joined the organization. And I have to say, I loved every minute of it. I loved the people. It was exciting. As I learned more about franchising, I loved the format, just the idea of partnering with franchisees and them going out and building something special in their local communities. And what really started as a job over time became a career. Like, I wanted to spend my life here and build something really special, initially alongside my father, which was one of the most amazing experiences. My dad, I'm super proud of him. He was the longest sitting treasurer in the history of the International Franchise Association. He became the chairman of the International Franchise Association. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So as you can imagine, I'm very proud of him. And I got a front row seat seeing him turn the organization around, candidly, back then from the verge of bankruptcy to being the most successful franchise in our category. So I moved through the company, held a lot of different positions. And ultimately, when my father exited in 2011 and retired after almost a 35-year career with the company, I became the CEO at that point. So really been kind of a storybook process for me.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Thanks for sharing that story. Those stories are so special, so rare, and so just genuinely neat to sit in on and hear, especially from your standpoint, right? You reflecting back and saying that you're proud of your father and being able to admire everything that he did. And then boom, all of a sudden have the opportunity, rightfully earned, to continue that legacy that your father had started. I mean, you can't write the American dream any better than that, right? That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Scott, thanks for sharing that. Why do you think that the original founder of Lawn Doctor had looked at your dad as being the person that would take over the company? And where do you think that came from? What did you ever?
Yeah. So a couple of things. My father's really unique in that he's coming up in Philadelphia, kind of on the streets from a really humble background. He had street smarts and was really practical. He also had several different jobs, put himself through night school. So he had this work ethic and he had an accounting background. And honestly, Tony was an entrepreneur, just really had multiple businesses, just a larger than life figure that I was fortunate to meet as a child. And you could see he was the spark, but he saw his own limitations, which, you know, you really give him credit for. He wasn't the person to kind of put the infrastructure in place and really manage the business from a financial perspective. Also, unfortunately, he had a pretty serious heart condition and he knew he wouldn't live long enough to see the company be a national brand. And so he wanted to handpick his successor and make sure that his company was in good hands. And he did, unfortunately, ultimately pass of a heart attack. And that's when my father took over the business.
So Tony had a vision for the company going national.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he thought big. I mean, he had big dreams. Everything was big with Tony. And so he had a big vision. He actually went to a little workshop that they were holding in a local hotel when franchising was really kind of coming into its own. And he learned about the format of franchising. And he left that session really committed to franchise the business right from the start. And so he really was a big thinker and forward thinking in terms of the business.
No kidding, especially because I'm sure back then, as franchising was really getting in stride, wasn't as much home service. Today, home service is hot. It's not all that uncommon. Sure, folks outside the industry probably don't necessarily have a full understanding that franchising does include things beyond retail, but that's a pretty incredible vision. Absolutely. What a pioneer and what an incredible story. But obviously, as you and many know, the Lawn Doctor has evolved. And for those that aren't aware, home service platform, you've heard me mention it a couple times, is really Holdco for different brands. And so that's Happiness Brands is home services hold company. And the original brand was Lawn Doctor. And so why Happiness? Where did that vision come about? I would assume that that was your vision and where you're taking the business. So would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I think just starting with the name Happiness, it's all about your nest is your home. It's where you create memories, where you raise your family, where you feel really comfortable. And happy is, of course, everyone in the value chain being happy. Like the customer feels really content in their space because everything's just taken care of for them, right? And so looking at that, that's the brand we created in-house. I was really proud of that whole creative process to get there. In terms of the thesis, if you will, the rationale behind it, we just really looked at, we have an amazing culture that I'm super proud of. We have just a great team here. We built a really good infrastructure that's matured over, as you can imagine, 55 years now, and started looking at what we built and how we thought that was really special, and then needs in the marketplace, right? And so I looked at the fragmentation in home services and just saw that the customer was sort of outpacing a lot of those home service providers, right? So what they expected was, I always call it like the Uber, Amazon, DoorDash effect. Like they want it now, they want what they want, right? And that small mom and pop, which really comprises a lot of home service, they couldn't keep up with that. Right? They couldn't deliver on that without some of the systems and relationships and experience that an organization like us might have. So I looked at that as a real need in the marketplace, kind of starting with the customer, and looked at the infrastructure and what we built relative to that. The other thing that I saw that was an interesting trend was, as I talked to emerging brands, I saw that there was a real need where they get to a certain point, and through passion and grit and drive, they just get to a certain place, and then they need sort of the things we become very good at, candidly. And so I saw this opportunity to wrap our infrastructure and leverage our experience and our capital, frankly, to be a catalyst and accelerate their growth at that inflection point at that moment when they really needed it most. And so I kind of look at it as a win for everybody, all boats rise. And we've been fortunate to attract some really amazing people and build on that vision. And we continue to do that. And moving into the future, I expect it to be much bigger and have many more partnerships.
So currently, Happiness consists of Lawn Doctor, Mosquito Hunters, EcoMades, and there's a new
So we just added Elite Window Cleaning, which was, it's our first foray into international operations. They're based in Canada. And what's really great, it was an introduction through someone we had worked with, and they got exposure to our culture and the things we were doing. And he said, hey, there's really somebody that you should meet. And I take those things very seriously. And I really respect the fact that someone thought enough of us to refer somebody who they felt really strongly was a great operator. And we just clicked. It just worked. Same thing. Their culture was great. The team that Chris Stonis is his name, had built, just amazing. They were just like us. Like every meeting we had, it's like, we're like the same people, right? And so it just clicked together. And then we looked at the model. We really liked the attributes of the model, the way they go to market, the actual operational aspects in the field, and the unit economics are really attractive. And those are some of the things that we look at, kind of starting from the leadership and then sort of moving to the model. And we just felt like it'd be a great fit. So we partnered with them in October of last year, and we've gone through the integration process, and now we're getting into a full launch mode, and then we'll bring them into the US as well.
So clearly vision is important, values, just the way in which business is done. Those are some pretty high level nuggets for at least what I've implied around how you evaluate a new brand that you invite and partner within the portfolio. What are some other factors that go into that process for determining? You also mentioned unit economics. Clearly those need to be important, but how do you go about that process beyond that context for welcoming a new brand?
I think I'd start all the way at the top, right? So as you mentioned, home service, we're really disciplined about, you've seen other organizations kind of drift out of their lane, in my opinion, and maybe go a little broad and say franchising is franchising. That's not my personal approach or opinion with respect to their strategy. So we're only going to be focused on home service. There might be some overlap with commercial, but the core of the business is going to be home service. We're certainly pretty disciplined about the categories we want to operate in for specific reasons. So we kind of look at that. And then we look for brands we like, right? What does the brand look like? How does it feel? I think it's amazing. Your brand is a great example. We were talking before we got started here. I love the Lime brand. I love what it looks like, what it says, what it stands for. So we look at that. That's important to us because we want to build hundreds and hundreds of locations. And that brand is going to be sort of in the marketplace and household name when we're done with our process, so to speak. So that's really important to us. But I really go back to what you said, like the leader really is kind of the biggest component, right? Our model is very much to partner with the leader and grow it into the future. And candidly, if there isn't a person who wants to stay in the brand for quite a long period of time and grow it alongside us and with us, it's probably not going to be a fit for us because they know it inside and out. They understand what the drivers are. And we can't be experts in every single industry when we're in 15, 20 different industries. So we're really going to rely on that leader. And they're the face of the brand, and they're going to build those relationships with franchisees that are so critical. So it definitely kind of starts and ends with the leader. Unit economics, again, are one of the more important things as well, because it doesn't have to work perfect initially, right? You understand there's sometimes some challenges with emerging brands and how the units operate in unit economics. We've been there ourselves, candidly. But in looking at it, if you change some things, could it work for the franchisee, right? Because if it doesn't work for the franchisee, then it's just not going to work for the franchisor long term. So it doesn't have to be perfect, but yet you really have to kind of look at it and understand, like, what changes would you make to the way the unit operates to make sure that it's financially advantageous for the franchisee, particularly at scale. And then we look at kind of what are the developmental opportunities in the organization as a whole, and can we add value there, right? Because if we can't add value to the entrepreneur, if we can't add value to the franchisee and just generally to the brand, we're not going to be delivering what it is that everyone expects, right? And there's kind of a list of things that we look at. Franchise development capability is certainly one of the things that we feel we can add value in. Marketing is an area in shared services where we feel we can add value. Call center operations, research and development, manufacturing, some other areas as well. So we kind of look at what are the strengths and weaknesses and how could we sort of complement what the team's already good at and add value in a broader way.
Those are clearly core competencies there. Franchise development, marketing, operational excellence. We can come in, surround an emerging brand with those core competencies and level up their business model. Clearly, an emerging brand isn't going to have everything figured out. And through your 55 years of experience around all of those different aspects, specifically in home service, right? You're working in a space that's very similar. And so a new brand being welcome to the Happiness portfolio, you know, they're going to be welcomed in with that immediate boost to take the brand to the next level and ultimately get it on the path of becoming a household name. So to that point, you'd mentioned, hey, you know, we're working with specifically the founders, right? They know the business intimately. What are some scenarios, some examples of the current portfolio, some of the founders that have joined Happiness Brands? What does that relationship look like? Can you share a little bit around that?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So Andy Fuller with Mosquito Hunters was our first partner. And I always say to Andy, you are the best first partner I could have ever asked for. He is incredibly smart. He's hardworking. He's really open-minded. He's just a good person who really cares about his franchisees. And we were introduced, again, fortunately, through a mutual friend in franchising who said, why don't you guys just connect and start a conversation? And what really just started is, how could we help one another? At a point, we said, hey, let's start to talk more seriously about a partnership. And I will say, again, like, the relationship has been amazing, right? And he's been growing as a leader. And we always look at a leader and say, could they run a $100 million plus franchise organization? And there is no doubt in my mind that Andy Fuller can and will, and potentially multiple brands. And so to see his development has been honestly incredibly rewarding for me. And I consider him a friend. I'm really happy for him and his success. I think he would say it's probably one of the better decisions that he's made in his life, certainly from a business perspective. So that's the kind of relationship we want to have. I will say there are some things, like I did back of the envelope calculation recently. We've got about 1,000 years of experience across every employee in the company, right? So there's some value that comes with that. But I'll say the entrepreneur who bootstrapped it is delivering a lot of value to us too, right? They're innovating. They think about things differently. And Andy's a perfect example of bringing things that are going to push us a little bit in a direction where maybe we wouldn't have otherwise. So it's really a win-win. And I see that relationship unfolding in many cases. So that'd be an example of a good relationship and what that could look like.
Yeah, we were talking about a little bit before the show, right? Where think about institutionalizing something versus innovation and those two coming together, right? Where have 1,000 years of collective experience crossing paths in hallways with that founder, that entrepreneur that is leaning toward being very innovative. I'm sure that that creates some pretty incredible collisions of the minds there. And it sounds like you're managing a lot of just that standardizing and then trying not to contain innovation, right? You can kill a lot of creativity with putting parameters in boxes, but yet that's what makes business great, is those systems and processes. So I could see that being a pretty neat process, that it's two different sides of the brain.
Yeah, it's really fun and actually has delivered more value than even I expected initially, right? And so, like, entrepreneurs that start their own thing and build it and are really excited about seeing it become a national brand, they're wired a certain way, right? And you need to harness that in a positive way. You can't constrain it. And it's great to see entrepreneurs run, but then run with a lot of support, right? And with some guardrails that kind of bring us all back together. And it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a ton. The business has benefited. The emerging brands have benefited from that whole process, and pretty powerful.
So what's the vision for Happiness Brands? Where is it going?
Yeah, so our vision is to partner with passionate entrepreneurs to build iconic brands, right? So it's right down the center of the fairway of what we're talking about. Like, we want to bring in this passionate entrepreneur and build iconic brands where maybe they got to 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 locations. And now let's get to 500 or 750 together. And that partnership, the vision kind of works at that level. It's also at the franchise level, right? Partnering with that passionate entrepreneur, that franchisee who signs a franchise agreement and wants to create something special for their family, right? And, you know, generate income and build an asset. We want to partner with them to be part of this brand story too, right? So that we're building out footprints and franchise locations across the country. And so that's the vision, is to just stay very focused on partnering with the right people and building iconic brands where you look back at Mosquito Hunters years from now, and it's at the same level as a Lawn Doctor, right? And an Ecomades and an Elite. It's a household name. It's really well respected. I feel like if we accomplish that, we've done quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a very disciplined, practical vision, right? That compounded over time is going to generate some pretty incredible impact in communities, specifically in home service and providing jobs and services to customers. That's incredible from just a numbers or a finite standpoint. If we were to speed up 20 years from now, what does Happiness Brands look like? Do you have any sort? Have you given that any thought?
Certainly, we want to have thousands of franchisees, right? We think about $100 million plus businesses in every vertical. You think about thousands of franchisees on that magnitude. I think kind of the sky's the limit. We're kind of practical each year. How do we want to grow each year? And then kind of looking 10 years out, because this is a long range play. But yeah, sort of generally on that magnitude, I'd go back to something that you said there about creating value. Like, our purpose is to change lives one happy nest at a time, right? And so what that means is, at every level, the customer level, we want them to be happy. The franchisee, we're helping change their lives through the model and the value that we're creating there. Our employees here, the stakeholders in the larger organization, everybody's winning in that process. And that's what I've discovered in my journey in franchising over almost 30 years, is that's my why. My personal why is lifting people up. And franchising provides what I believe is one of the best formats to do that, right? Like, we can't do it for the franchisee, as you well know, but we can create a path and a model and support all the tools and resources to help them get to where they want. And I think if everybody wins in that value chain, like, that's a recipe for a very successful enterprise, but also having positive impact on people.
Yeah, well said. I don't think it can be said any better than that. And that's a very impactful on a personal level, but it just has so much implications that are positive in so many different ways. You know, something that you had mentioned a couple times was the $100 million mark for one brand. Why is that a number that stands out?
I think it's an easy number to kind of gravitate to, right? And to understand and wrap your head around. I think at that level, certainly we'll see brands be much larger than that. There's a leadership capability that's necessary as you scale to that level, where you're managing teams, you're managing departments. And I think that's what most entrepreneurs want, right? You started as a one-person operation doing everything. Typically, you started with a corporate location in the local community. You figured some things out, and then you moved into franchising as a way to have the brand become something bigger. And that was sort of, you were in two different worlds, right? You're managing a local operation and you were learning franchising and managing that, typically, again, with a very small team, if any team members. But this notion of kind of getting to a level where you have that level of infrastructure at a brand level, I think that, again, it makes sense for us as a larger organization where it's a meaningful enterprise. But I think it makes sense for the entrepreneur where, when you're leading a business at that magnitude, you've really sharpened your saw and become a better leader. So I like it from kind of both of those perspectives.
Just the skill level and the impact, it's clearly a milestone in a business's journey.
For sure.
So if you just compound the focus on four elements that you've mentioned, I would assume that clearly this is just hypothetical, but there's 10 plus brands. If they're all doing 100 million plus, have you ever thought about the number $1 billion in system-wide?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like, I want to have at least a $1 billion organization. Absolutely. So that's another very clear kind of lighthouse out there in the distance that's kind of guiding us. And $1 billion enterprise would be quite an accomplishment for us. And I think we'll get there and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Well, I take it to the numbers because it's practical, but my goodness, the approach and the way of doing business. I love how you mentioned one happy nest at a time. Take it to the consumer, and that's what it's all about. No matter the home service brand within happiness, it's going to come down to the process, the systems, the synergy around competing and delivering incredible value for that consumer. And along the way, it's transforming franchise owners' lives, employees' lives, impacting the community, but each brand, project by project, is delivering a world-class service that, as you mentioned at the beginning of our convo, is within a very fragmented industry in home service. So bringing that collective 1,000 years of brain power to support that franchise owner, to unite with that franchise owner, download the process and the systems, and ultimately get out in the marketplace and deliver one happy nest at a time, day after day, consistency, and that consistency of behavior and the outcome that comes from that just compounds. And all of a sudden you pick your head up and you start seeing some of these impactful milestones and lighthouses that are those fun accomplishments that the world can appreciate and receive as value along the way. That's entrepreneurship. That's business. That's the American dream. Scott, I wanted to have you on because your story is so incredible and your organization foundation is incredible. So thanks for sharing this incredible knowledge. I want to change gears a little bit and talk about the franchise owner. Clearly, this is why we are in business, to award franchises to capable franchise owners for our particular systems and help change their life. And so what do you notice as some themes of a successful franchise owner versus a franchise owner that may not be successful?
That's a really good question. And I think you're always in search of that perfect avatar, right? Identifying exactly what that perfect franchisee looks like. And I think even when you're really deliberate, candidly, you can vary a little and you could see success on different sides of it. And you could drift too much and maybe get outside of your lane and not have success, right? And that's just being very practical and authentic. But I would say positive attributes, resilience is one that's absolutely essential, particularly in home service, right? In any business, but particularly home service. It's hard, right? We don't kind of shy away from that. We lean into that. Look, this is a really good business across every brand that we have, but it's very hard from day one to get that to scale. And you have to be willing to do the hard work day in and day out to get to that point, to accomplish what you want, to have the lifestyle that you want, the flexibility, some of the reasons why you got in on the front end. So we really over communicate that you're going to hit these barriers and we need you to be really resilient and kind of break through them with all of our support. Positivity is just an absolute requirement for me to be part of our company at all. And so positive people, they just have a vibe. Walk into a meeting, you feel good about it, right? Any conversation, you can figure almost anything out if you're like-minded and you've got a positive attitude. So I want people to be positive who are part of this organization. I think it translates to the teams at a local franchise level. It translates then from there out to the customer. That's really important. I think being very good at execution, right? You have to do the work. And so you overthink things and you don't execute the model, you're going to fall behind, right? So I always say, like, fall forward, don't fall backwards. Even if you make a mistake, have some forward momentum because you're trying to accomplish something. I think those are some of the really important things that I see in franchisees. And I think if you focus on those things, I think you also have to be open-minded too. I'll throw that and willing. You always hear follow the system. That to me is just inherent. Like, you have to be open to, hey, respectfully, we've been doing this for a period of time. The model works, let it work and be open-minded to that way of doing things. And then maybe perfect and refine at a local level once you have the basics down. So I think those would be the things I would point to.
So much of what you said was the soft skills. And I didn't know if that's where you were going to go with it. I thought you might talk to background and credentials and things of that sort. But you started off with resilience and positivity. And then you hit on execution. But resilience, and I really wouldn't have predicted you to go that route either, even if you were going soft skills, but being resilient and having that fortitude to break ceilings, that is an incredible attribute, because in business, especially in franchise ownership, in many cases, we have owners joining that have never ran a business before. And so they're not only learning a new industry, they're learning how to be a business owner. And they're entering that dynamic with so much optimism toward fulfilling their American dream, but rightfully so, right? That's what business ownership provides, is so many benefits. But you say, wait, pause. Let me set the expectations. And the expectations are that, okay, you're going to have the support. You're going to have a viable business opportunity and you're going to deliver incredible value, but you need to be resilient to the ceilings that you need to break, learning how to be a business owner, learning a new industry. And anytime that something is new, there's going to be uncertainties, and which means there's going to be fear because you don't know what's coming around the corner. And so you're navigating so much that is not rainbows and butterflies per se. It's not easy. In home services in particular, it is a unique muscle and skill that's developed. And when you've never done it before, you need to be resilient.
Yeah. So. Exactly. And I would say, like, look, we're the same people before you sign the franchise agreement and after, right? So we're not going to sell you up front that this is perfect and there's no challenges, et cetera. And then you get to the other side and you're like, geez, this doesn't feel right. Like, I'd rather be, we're just candid in everything that we do. And if you're not the right fit and you don't move forward because the work's too hard, I'd rather us have that discussion beforehand than after. It just, it saves pain on the part of the franchisee. And we're about again, lifting people up, right? And so I think you just have to be really transparent about the journey. And let's talk about the positives, right? When you get to scale in home service, you generally have recurring revenue in our models. You have expansion of profit margins. You have lots of add-on services that can take that recurring revenue and increase that margin even more. And then you start to build an infrastructure and you have more flexibility. And there's so many other things that I could add to that, but it's that first part of the journey to get to that ultimate spot. And so we're fortunate now with the Lawn Doctor journey in particular that we have a lot of franchisees who have gotten to that place after the initial period there. So I think we're just always going to be authentic and be the same before you sign a franchise agreement, after and through the life of our franchise relationship.
Thanks for adding that additional context, right? It's very rewarding, but expectation setting is such an honorable way of doing business, Scott. So commend you for that. And I could talk to you for hours and hours, but clearly you have an incredible organization to get back to. But my final question for you is, why do you love franchising so much?
That's a great question to end on. I am incredibly passionate about franchising. I mentioned to you when I was younger and I was starting in the business, it was a job at first, right? And then it became a career. And the thing that I loved more than anything else was when I started to understand what franchising was, right? And to me, it's a brand, it's an operating system, it's training and support from the franchisor, and it's the passion and capital of the franchisee on the ground who's going to execute the model to build something special for themselves and their family, right? And so the synergy of that, there is nothing more powerful in business to me than the synergy that's created in an authentic franchise relationship. And that's why it resonated with me as a young person starting in franchising. And I have the same passion today, even more so, about the model of franchising. I love what it does for people's lives. And if you look at Lawn Doctor in particular, just because of the amount of time we've been doing it, we have franchisees who have been with us 30, 40 years. We have second generation operators who I remember when the parents started, and now the children are taking over very successful businesses. I'm in the process of visiting a number of our largest Lawn Doctor franchisees across the country, having just returned from three over the last week, and to sit with them in their space and hear where they started with nothing, and to then look around and see the business they built and their lifestyle, what they're able to do. You know, they did it through a lot of hard work, but I'd like to think we were a small part of that story too. And so when I come back, I tell the team here the stories and the conversations and what it was like to be in their space. And it's a really special moment for me just talking about where these franchisees have moved to based on the power of franchising. And that's the way it should be.
The synergy of the core of franchising, which is being in business together, right? And those mutually beneficial aspects coming together. Scott, you communicated it beautifully. What an incredible conversation. And I truly feel blessed to have had this conversation with you. I know our audience most certainly leveled up. I had a small inkling that they would. And my goodness, you really blew the ceiling off this thing. Scott, if anyone would like to reach out to you, maybe about referring or potentially having discussions with you about joining the Happiness family as an entrepreneur, a new brand, or maybe a franchise partner, just anybody in general, how can they get in touch with you?
Certainly they can find me, Scott Frith, on LinkedIn and connect with me there, or happiness.com. There's an opportunity there to reach out and connect to us through the website as well.
Awesome. Well, I most certainly suggest that you reach out to Scott if anything that he has mentioned resonates with you. But please subscribe to this channel. It's how we're able to continue to grow and share valuable information like the info we received from Scott today. Like the video and contribute to the conversation. Drop some comments down below. Clearly, we covered so many incredible conversation points. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Nick, thank you for the opportunity. It was great to be with you.
Likewise.
Take care.
Thanks, Scott. You too.
Be well.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.